Good morning.
Well, happy Easter. The live stream is going pretty well out in the pavilion. There's probably about 20 people out there, so praise God for that. We've only had one snafu so far as I know, where we were singing the song and all of a sudden the feed froze. That one was fake for you out in the pavilion. That was for your benefit. Well, we are here this morning to celebrate what is called the linchpin in the idea of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you heard from the Reverend Billy Graham at the beginning of the service this morning, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, it doesn't make sense to even be here. There's no reason for us to even gather this morning and worship today together. But the simple fact is that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. So this morning I want to talk for a few minutes, though, about what it would be like if there had been no resurrection. Have you ever thought about that before? I mean, we as Christians, we celebrate that idea that Christ rose from the dead. If he hadn't risen from the dead, he would just be considered a good man. Oh, I see all of our lovely children all dressed up in their Easter clothes and ready to go back to children's church with Mr. Jim and Mr. Hickok. So go ahead and head back to children's church at this time. We have a good crowd of kids this morning. Praise God. Praise God for that. But last week we talked about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We talked about the idea that he hung on that cross for 6 hours and he bled out on our behalf. And previous to that, he had talked about his body, which was going to be broken for us, and his blood that was going to be poured out for us. And as you know, the book of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so we're incredibly thankful that Jesus willingly went to the cross on our behalf. But we're even more thankful that that's not the end of the story. Amen? There is more to the story than that. And that's what we celebrate today. But you remember when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' dead body off the cross, they took it to a garden tomb, and the apostle John specifically mentions as they take the body down that they laid it in a tomb because it was near at hand. It was close by. The tomb was close by. You know, they only had Jesus breathed his last breath about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They only had until 6 o'clock to get him buried because the Passover was about to begin. And on the Passover begins Friday night at 6 o'clock. You can't do any work in the Jewish culture from 6 p.m. on Friday until 6 p.m. on Saturday. So they only had 3 hours to bury Jesus. So they took his body down, and the scripture mentions that they brought 100 pounds of myrrhs and aloes and lotions, and they treated his body and they laid him in the tomb. And there was no doubt in their minds that he was dead. Can you imagine the fact that they were going to leave that body in that close at hand tomb for the next more than 24 hours, more than 36 hours? They were going to leave that body just in that tomb. So there was no doubt in their mind that Jesus was dead. And then as we celebrated this morning already, we celebrated the women arriving at the tomb. I want you to think for just a few moments, what if that tomb was still closed, was still sealed, still locked when they got there? Right? Now, it talks about they spent time preparing more lotions and more ointments for the body. I think probably the idea was that they didn't want the body to stay in that tomb. They were probably going to move the body to one owned by Mary's family. Because remember, he was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. So they probably came with the idea that they were going to need to move the body to another tomb. In fact, you remember that the Jewish people, according to the Gospel of Matthew, had sealed the tomb. They were afraid that Jesus' disciples were going to come and steal the body, and they were going to claim that he had risen from the dead. So they sealed the tomb. And you remember that afterwards, after Jesus had risen from the dead, those same guards went back to the authorities and said, he's gone. And they were commanded to tell everyone that they had fallen asleep and that the body had been stolen. But we know that's not really what happened. We know, as the book of 1 Corinthians says, that he appeared to many people afterwards. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to, the Apostle Paul says, more than 500 people at one time, because he had risen. Amen? But just put yourself in the shoes of those ladies arriving at the tomb that morning. And imagine that the tomb is still sealed. Imagine that Christ had not risen. If he had not risen, then the ladies would not have rushed away to tell the apostles what was going on. The apostles wouldn't have, John and Peter wouldn't have rushed to the tomb to see what was going on. They wouldn't have found the tomb empty. They wouldn't later been hiding, 50 days later, been hiding in that upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on the day of Pentecost. They wouldn't have given up their lives in order to spread the gospel. Almost all of the apostles were martyred for their faith. They could have easily just said, no, he didn't rise from the dead. Generations later, the faith in Christianity, the faith in the risen Jesus Christ, caused people to do outrageously wonderful things in the name of the Savior. Society would tell you that Christianity has been a blemish on the world, on history. But that's not really what has happened. For example, in the 3rd century AD, many of you may not be familiar with this, but there was a plague that was killing people all throughout Europe. And it was, and in the city of Corinth, you remember the books of the Corinthians, right? In the city of Corinth, the plague was terrible. It was so bad that families, when someone came down with the plague, the family would drag that person out of the house and leave them in the streets to die. The idea being, we want to make sure that this doesn't spread to the rest of the family. This plague has gone to a portion of the family, but it's better to lose one than to lose the whole family. So they would drag someone out into the streets and leave them there to die. And it was the Christians that went through the town caring and tending to those people left in the streets to die. Now, if you don't have a confidence that you have eternal life, if you don't have a confidence that if you were to catch the plague and die, that you would live again, then that seems ridiculous that they would give up their own lives for the benefit of someone else. So these Corinthians risked their own lives for the benefit of strangers. In fact, that began a long history of nursing in Christianity. I don't know how many of you recognize this, but a lot of the medical developments that have happened throughout the centuries have been because of Christians trying to preserve physical life. In fact, in 369 AD, St. Basil of Caesarea founded a 300-bed hospital. This was the first large-scale hospital for illness and disability, and it also cared for victims of the plague. In the so-called Dark Ages, from the 5th to 11th centuries, rulers influenced by Christian principles encouraged the building of hospitals. In the Middle Ages, monasteries, you know, monks who have set aside their lives, who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ and then taken vows of celibacy and poverty and things like that, they opened up the monasteries to be places that were used as hospitals. I don't know how many of you know this, but many of the hospitals, even in the United States, were built because of Christians wanting to tend to those who were sick. You don't do that unless you have a faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the idea that even if I tend to someone who's sick and I die, there's coming a resurrection for me as well. It wasn't just hospitals, though. Did you know that 100 of the first 110 universities in the United States were founded expressly for the purpose of training people to propagate the Christian faith? 100 of the first 110 universities in the United States, including many of the Ivy League universities that were started as seminaries. And of course, over time, they have moved away from that Christian foundation, but they were founded, education was promoted by Christians. In fact, I don't know how many of you have heard of the Puritans, but the Puritans were 95% literate. 95% of the Puritans were literate in a time where literacy was considered a luxury. The ability to read was considered a luxury. Christians were promoting literacy. Now imagine that there was no resurrection. Imagine that Christianity had died after that first century. Imagine that those fishermen who were called to be apostles, Peter and Andrew and James and John, that they recognized that there was no resurrection of the dead. They probably would have gone back to fishing. In fact, you remember after Jesus rises from the dead, the apostles are they're told to go to Galilee. So they go to Galilee and they're waiting for Jesus to appear to them. And what does Peter say? I'm going to go fishing. And they say, we're going to go with you. So they spend that time waiting for Jesus after his resurrection, fishing. They probably would have gone back to fishing. But what about Matthew? Think about that. If there had been no resurrection, what about Matthew? Remember, Jesus called him from the tax collector booth to be an apostle. What if there had been no resurrection? Would he have gone back to serving Rome? What would his fellow Jews had looked at him as? What about Simon the Zealot, who is also called to be an apostle? Zealot means somebody that was very zealous, right? Very excited about this Jesus who is going to establish the Davidic kingdom. What would have happened with Simon if there had been no resurrection? Christianity would have died out in that first century. And yet here we are in the 21st century, having an Easter morning breakfast and then an Easter worship service celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many billions of lives he has changed. Billions with a B. And how many billions more there are to be changed. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, The Apostle Paul is talking about that idea of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start with, I don't think that's verse 12. I don't think that's verse 11. I'm going to start reading at verse 3. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received. This is the Apostle Paul. Okay. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Now, this is 2,000 years ago, so all of them have passed on by now. But the idea there was he was saying, so many people saw the risen Jesus. Go ask them. Go ask them. They're still alive. They're still around. Then he appeared to James, that's Jesus' half-brother, and to all the apostles, and last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me. You remember the Damascus Road story where Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now, if we preached Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? Now he's talking to, let me show you the verse right before that again. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached and so you believed. He's talking to believers in Jesus Christ here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he says to them, some of you don't think that there is a resurrection. Now the resurrection that they're talking about is not the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection of human beings. There were some Corinthians that were denying that Christians were going to rise from the dead. And Paul says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Right? Imagine if there were no resurrection. If there were no resurrection and we continued gathering, you know what we would gather as? We would gather as a social club, not as a church. We would not gather because of our communal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we gathered at all, it would be to gather as friends, which many of us are. But we gather because of something so much deeper. Our united faith in the idea that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that His resurrection of the dead proves that one day, those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ will also rise from the dead. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Because if Christ has not been raised from the dead, it doesn't matter what you've believed. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, neither will we. But that's not the end of the story either, is it? He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, that means that His sacrifice on the cross was not sufficient to pay for our sins. But if He has been raised from the dead, then that proves that God was satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. And because God was satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice, he raised Jesus from the dead. And because God raised Jesus from the dead, we can know that our sins can be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ, and that one day we will also celebrate in the resurrection of the dead. As the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, I was studying the book of Romans earlier this week. It starts with, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Should we continue sinning so that grace is just poured out? And of course, the Apostle Paul says, may it never be. May it never be. But as he continues through this passage, he says this about Jesus. He says, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. God, being satisfied with the sacrificial death of our Savior, raised Jesus from the dead. And we celebrate that today. As Paul continued in the book of 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, remember, he had said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Meaning that if Christ was not raised from the dead, you have not been forgiven of your sins. Even if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, you have nothing to pay for your sins. But the fact of the matter is that he was. He was raised from the dead. And he is the only sacrifice that can pay for our sins. So Paul continues and says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then those who have died, those who have had faith in Christ and died, they're just lost forever. If they've placed their trust in Christ and Christ has not been raised from the dead, then those who placed their trust in Christ and died, they did not have forgiveness of their sins either. He says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished if Jesus did not rise from the dead. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of most people to be pitied. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then I'm wasting my life. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then you who are seeking to live Christian lives to glorify God, you're wasting your lives. If Christ did not rise from the dead, if we only have hope in this life, then we are of most people to be pitied. And then one of the best words in the Bible shows up. But. Because that's not the end of the story, is it? It's not the end of the story. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Let me read that one more time. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen? Christ has been raised from the dead. And because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we know that it's the same thing for us. Our eternal souls are secure in Jesus Christ because we have placed our trust in him and he has been raised from the dead. In fact, Paul says he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does first fruits imply? Second fruit. Right? If Jesus is the first fruit of those raised from the dead, then there's more. There's more to the story. There will be others raised from the dead as well, and raised to eternal life. Raised to eternal life. And so our hope is not in a dead Savior. Our hope is in a resurrected one. Amen. And He is worthy of our praise. I'd like to invite the band to come back up. They're going to lead us in some more worship of our Lord, remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ.